of their children, and why they are distancing themselves from the child. I would have said at first that maybe this child is a little bit of an introvert, but the fact that he's playing social games with his toys might suggest that there's another problem. So it's up to you, Brother Mehmet.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You mentioned the word introvert. So introverts are children or adults that kind of like to keep to themselves, don't really enjoy socializing with others. Now, it's a very cliche word. Obviously, I didn't define it as others would define, because I particularly don't like using or categorizing people. I think we should be careful of that. A lot of these questions are common. Sometimes psychologists, they would say, okay, your child is these four letters, is an introvert and a thinker and whatnot. And we categorize people in these ways, and what happens is that, unfortunately, then we kind of impose a behavior, an attitude, or a way of thinking into a child, which not necessarily is there in such a strong way. As at the end of the day, children grow and they could change personalities. And also, because we want to be balanced at the end of the day, and we don't always have to be doing things that we're more comfortable with. Having said that, we're not negating the fact that people have different personalities and they have different source of energies and they have different ways of interacting with different things and different people. And we need to use these and know these so that we can help the child in making the right decisions and reaching to their potential, achieving their potential.
Okay, let's take a break now. So don't worry, your child might change their personality in the future. And also, remember that there are ways to help them reach their full potential. We'll be back just after the break.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have a parent who is worried about their children's social capabilities because that child doesn't spend a lot of time with their friends, but does spend a lot of time with their toys, which they pretend to be their friends, and play with them. So in the previous section, you said that the parents don't need to be too worried. The child might change their personality. But isn't this an early sign of some kind of, I don't know, psychological problem or isolation?
Not necessarily. If it gets exaggerated, then definitely, but not necessarily. You see, sometimes you have to realize that certain children, okay, you can call them introvert in our scenario, they need a lot of time on their own, right? That doesn't mean that they don't like socializing, or that doesn't mean that they don't find any value in socializing, or in the future they won't have any kind of social place or a social value for or giving importance to society. No, it just means that they find a lot of energy and their need, it's part of their personality, they need a lot of time alone, right? Now take this child for example. This child, the parent can, in the following questions, can correct me, but this is the kind of child probably that enjoys a lot spending time alone. And if you take this child outside, okay, to have a football game, for example, to play with their friends, or school, for example, or Sunday school, or tuition classes, or whatever, okay, they'll go to these things, they'll enjoy a lot, okay. But if it prolongs too much, okay, then you find this child being very frustrated and very angry, okay. The moment you take the child, kid, you know what, let's have 2-hour break, okay, let's go home, okay, and you find this child has a corner, a particular corner in their house, okay, they have a space in their house where they have their own toys nicely organized, okay, and they go into that space, okay, and they don't want to speak to anyone, and they just want to do their own things. This kind of child is a child who finds a lot of energy in being alone, right, and it's a kind of personality, it's very normal, there's nothing wrong with it, it's not a psychological problem at all. It's to say that the energy source of such a personality is that they get their energy from having a moment, okay, now this can be minutes, it can be hours at a time, on their own, doing nothing. And they actually, on the other side, you could say that they do socialize, okay? They do have time, but it's kind of a draining process, you could say, okay? That they, after some time, feel it too heavy and too as a burden for them. So one of the things is that these children, they enjoy their time alone, number one. Number two is that they have their own physical space, okay? Where there's a corner of the house, a place in their room, where they have control over that, basically. They don't like anybody, sometimes even their parents even touch that place. This is my place. I like to arrange things the way I like to arrange them over here. Nobody should touch them. I understand how these things work. Another thing is that these children with this personality, they enjoy time to think. They're kind of thinkers, basically. And you find that if you ask a question or if you want to discuss about something, they'll, if they could say, or if when they grow older, but they would say, give me some time to think about it. I can't give you an answer right now. You know, some people, you ask them something, they'll just very quickly
immediately give
an answer, for example, on the spot. Exactly. But these children or this personality, they will actually take some time to reflect on things. And they'll process it, and often on their own time. And lastly is that they enjoy time, interrupted time as well, right? Put it this way, if this child, you want to give a lot of energy to this child, you want to give him that space and that uninterrupted time, right? That they can do things without being interrupted for a period of time that they appreciate. Having said all of that, okay, I said all of that so that we understand that this is the kind of personality we might be dealing with. The key now is to make sure that once we know this, okay, we try to always aim for a balanced approach, right? And even though this child would prefer to be spending a lot of time on their own, okay, you give them that enough time on their own to be able to regain their energy.
Recharge.
Right? Recharge kind of thing, basically. But then you say, okay, now we need to have social time as well.
Okay, we really need to cut you off there because it's break time, but we'll be back very shortly for the rest of the discussion, which I'm sure you're waiting for too. Don't go away.
IRIB English Radio presents a priceless gift to parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic upbringing. We are answering a question about a child who their parent is worried that they might be too isolated because they spend a lot of alone time. So you said that some children need to have this alone time to recharge, relax, clear their minds, and we should give them that, but we should be careful that it doesn't become too much and excessive. And the words that you always put it, it should be balanced. How do parents assess whether their children are having enough social interaction or not?
I would say that it's kind of thing that parents would just know that, has my child had enough time with others as well. You could divide it others as well in different categories. First, you have time with parents as a priority, right? So there should be enough time that child spends with their mother and their father and their siblings as a family, right? Often you also need from time to time alone time as well. So alone time with mom, alone time with dad as well. That's very useful to have. Then you have social, which is school and things that are more in a formal setup, basically. So you have school, you have Sunday school, you have tuition classes, you have these kind of different extracurricular activities that are more social in a formal gathering in a structured place. And then you have gatherings that are more social interaction that are more free, basically. You to go with your friends to the park and you just freely just play whatever you want to play, basically. A child should ideally have all three of them in a very balanced way, that every single day they have obviously the structured social interaction where they go to school, or they go on Sundays, they go to Sunday school, for example. They should definitely have enough time with their parents and their siblings as well. And also ideally also have some time for free time, basically, where you have time with your friends and you can do whatever you want, basically, whether it's at the park or we go somewhere specific, etc. You feel more like there's no kind of a structured place over here. We can do as we wish, basically. Neither should take the place of the other. It's not because today we've had too much social that I don't have time with my family, for example, or the opposite. It should be in a balanced way, basically. For these kind of children that we're talking about who require a lot of the time on their own, you should play it in the way that these social interactions do happen, definitely. They should not be deleted in any way, right? But you should keep it in mind that it shouldn't be in a way that these interactions are prolonged for such a long period of time. So for instance, for such a kid, I would never plan school followed by park, followed by time with my parents at the forest, followed by going to the restaurant to fill the whole day. That's going to be very frustrating for such a child, right? You would plan school, come back from school, stay home for a couple of hours, relax, have your own time, basically. And after that, we can go to the park. And when we come back, have some time again. And then we can do family dinner together, for example. So you're catering for the need of the child, but you're also teaching him balance.
Okay, unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. If you missed the program, don't worry. You can always download an archive from our website. Simply search parstoday.com. You can also email us at englishradio@irib.ir. That's englishradio@irib.ir. Until next program, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/EN. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The deadly and highly contagious novel coronavirus has had a huge impact on billions of people's lives, weighing down on the economy, putting workers out of work around the globe, and more. After gaining an understanding of the virus, countries around the world began developing their versions of a COVID-19 vaccine.
It's called Operation Warp Speed. That means big and it means fast. A massive scientific, industrial, and logistical endeavor unlike anything our country has seen since the Manhattan Project.
The United States, under former President Donald Trump, launched a vaccine program dubbed Operation Warp Speed and invested heavily in producing, delivering, and distributing the jabs. The program proved successful, and the country produced different vaccines for the disease. But under patent-related restrictions, it prevented other nations from having access to the know-how to produce life-saving vaccines at home. With Donald Trump gone, President Joe Biden is now facing increasing pressure to issue a waiver for the restrictions. Several Democratic leaders, including Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, have joined a petition with 2 million signatures demanding that the U.S. administration drop its support of a World Trade Organization agreement that bars other countries from accessing the patents. Charity organization Oxfam has called the current situation of the distribution of jabs in the world as vaccine apartheid, noting that the world is dealing with a public health emergency and that the pandemic isn't a private profit opportunity.
The fact that the U.S. does not want to remove a patent on some of its key vaccine developments against COVID-19 is another symbol of how this empire is ruled by profits, by money, by the pursuit of wealth against everything else. It doesn't care about human life. It doesn't care about human beings and their health and prosperity. It cares about money because the United States worships money. Its God is money. And it's something that's horrible to understand because we're in the middle of overcoming a pandemic that is still very much a threat to a lot of people around the world.
The comments come ahead of shareholder meetings for the giant pharmaceutical company. According to data from Johns Hopkins University, people in the United States have received approximately a quarter of total vaccines administered around the globe. Other wealthier nations in the world have also received significantly higher numbers of vaccines compared to middle and low-income countries. A Washington Post report indicates the United States will have an oversupply of hundreds of millions of coronavirus vaccine doses as soon as July. The figure has raised concerns about possible hoarding in the country. Earlier this month, Amnesty International condemned richer countries for failing a, quote, rudimentary test of global solidarity by hoarding COVID vaccines, accusing them of exploiting the pandemic to undermine human rights. Also, the World Health Organization warned richer countries that their deals with big pharmaceutical companies will hurt the global COVAX program for poorer nations. The UN agency said its plan to roll out 1.3 billion doses of vaccine to low and middle-income nations by the end of this year has been slow, as wealthier nations are approaching vaccine manufacturers that the COVAX program is counting on.
We can't expect these big countries like the United States, like the United Kingdom, to save us, because they haven't, and we're seeing that happen as we speak. We're seeing these first world developed countries hoard access to medicine and vaccines that can potentially save the lives of millions of people around the world. And the only way we're going to get around this is developing the means of production, developing infrastructure, doing what Iran is doing, what China is doing, what Venezuela and Cuba and Russia and others are doing, and creating pharmaceutical industries that are not dependent on Pfizer, not dependent on Moderna, not dependent on Johnson & Johnson, but are shared technologies by all people around the world.
We are in the middle of a pandemic that has spread to every country in the world. Unless all the Earth's 8 billion inhabitants are vaccinated, the novel coronavirus is expected to stay with us for much longer.
The wholly occupied city of Jerusalem Al-Quds has seen regular clashes over the past week between Palestinian residents and Israeli military forces who have been blocking Palestinians from sitting on the steps of Damascus Gate. This is while thousands of Palestinians traditionally sit in the area following nighttime prayers during the holy Muslim fasting month of Ramadan. On Thursday, the Israeli regime forces attacked Palestinians who gathered outside of the Damascus Gate on the north side of the occupied old city of Jerusalem Al-Quds. That ignited protests against restrictions on their Palestinians gatherings in Jerusalem Al-Quds old city during the fasting month of Ramadan. Scores of Palestinians were injured at the Damascus Gate of the old city of Jerusalem Al-Quds as Palestinian activists confronted hundreds of far-right and extremist Israeli settlers chanting death to Arabs in their rally in the center of the occupied city. Palestinian protesters, angered by chants of death to Arabs from far-right Jewish demonstrators, clashed repeatedly with Israeli police. The Palestine Red Crescent Society said in a statement that at least 105 Palestinians were injured, including 22 people who were hospitalized. Also, Israeli forces arrested at least 50 Palestinians during the clashes. The Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas denounced the violence against Palestinians, saying that he holds the Israeli regime accountable for this serious deterioration. Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement has denounced Israeli attacks on Palestinians in Jerusalem Al-Quds, expressing its solidarity with the victims. Meanwhile, dozens of rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip towards Israel in alliance with protesters in Al-Quds. Israeli media said that the Palestinian resistance movement fired 36 rockets toward the occupied territories. Israeli authorities claimed that most of the rockets had struck open areas. Only six of the projectiles had been intercepted by the Iron Dome missile defense system. Israel responded by carrying out airstrikes across the besieged coastal sliver.
I think what's going on is that there has been a continuation of violence, state violence, by the Israeli occupation forces against the Palestinians, against the indigenous people. And it is the latest chapter, if you like, of what's actually been going on in terms of that. And this idea of the Zionists trying to take over that land, take over that place, is something that is continuing unabated. And it is something that needs to be recognized for what it is that they are actually doing.
Israel lays claim to the entire Jerusalem Al-Quds, but the international community views the city's eastern sector as occupied territory, and Palestinians consider it as the capital of their future state. According to the UN Security Council Resolution 478, other member states are prohibited from establishing diplomatic missions in Jerusalem Al-Quds. The resolution states that the Council does not recognize Jerusalem Al-Quds as the occupying Israeli regime's capital. Palestinians who seek an independent state in the occupied West Bank and Gaza, with East Jerusalem Al-Quds as its capital, have condemned the U.S. pro-Israel agenda. During the former U.S. President Donald Trump, Israel stepped up its settlement expansion in defiance of the U.N. Security Council Resolution 2334. According to the resolution, settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem Al-Quds are illegal. Also, several countries, including the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco, normalized their relations with the Israeli regime by signing the U.S.-brokered Abraham Accords. More than 600,000 Israelis live in over 230 settlements built since the 1967 Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories of the West Bank and East Jerusalem Al-Quds. All of them are illegal under international law, for they were built on occupied land.
Unless there is a reality check and unless there is something done to recognize the oppression that the Israelis are carrying out on that occupied land, nothing is going to change. There is going to be no peace without justice being served.
Israel has made it a priority to change the demographics of Jerusalem Al-Quds and Judaize the city slowly but surely. While Palestinians are the rightful owners of Jerusalem Al-Quds and the international community is against the Israeli regime's illegal settlements, there have not been any moves to stop Israel from advancing his plans.
From drones to missiles, Iran's been enhancing its military and defense capabilities by employing and testing homegrown state-of-the-art technologies. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps has recently released footage portraying the country's latest advancements in the field of drone technology. The footage captured by IRGC drones shows close-up shots of an American aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf. The Defense Force also released a video that showed its kamikaze drones hitting their targets with surgical accuracy. Meanwhile, the head of the U.S. Central Command, which oversees the American forces stationed in the West Asia region, revealed to the U.S. Congress that Iranian drone power has stripped the American Air Force of what the commander called its upper hand in the world. General McKenzie made the comments in written testimony to the House Armed Services Committee, in which he noted how Washington was daunted by Iran's far and wide application of small and medium-sized drones for surveillance and attacks. The top general said Iran's ballistic missile force is the most formidable in the region.
This is something that is going to be very troubling to U.S. government officials, because they certainly don't want anybody to have major power except for themselves and some of their allies, such as Israel in the Middle East. But as far as the U.S. finally conceding that its power is limited, it's going to take a long time for them to actually recognize that, to face that reality. They're going to work hard to overcome it, spending more money than they already spend on the military. And right now, the U.S. spends more on its military than the next 10 nations combined. So it's going to be another kind of arms race, and it will not have a good outcome at all. But hopefully the United States will at some point turn its attentions elsewhere into some other area, either of the world or looking more closely at its own internal problems.
Iran's military says the capabilities have enabled it to nip any security threat in the bud.
I am announcing today that we...
Tensions between Iran and the United States escalated after former U.S. President Donald Trump unilaterally withdrew Washington from the 2015 Iran nuclear deal in 2018 and launched his so-called maximum pressure campaign, reinstating sanctions against Tehran and ramping up its military presence in the West Asia region. What happened following the move has been regarded as a test of strength for Iran, not only economically, but also militarily. One instance proving Iran's military advancements occurred on June 20, 2019, when Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps shot down an intruding United States RQ-4A Global Hawk spying drone with a surface-to-air missile over the Strait of Hormuz. Iran has repeatedly said its military capabilities are merely for the defensive purposes and has called for regional cooperation to ensure peace in the Persian Gulf region. In this regard, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani presented a plan dubbed the Hormuz Peace Initiative, or HOPE, which aims at establishing long-term peace in the region, an issue that Iran says is impossible as long as outsiders are present.
This will happen eventually. More and more nations will see that they can rely on Iran. Iran has the strength, Iran has the will, and Iran is looking for peace in the Middle East. The United States is not looking for peace in the Middle East. It has no interest in peace in the Middle East, which is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, why the Iranian government will not work with the United States. Iran is a force to be reckoned with, and the United States has just recognized that in a major way.
But what does the U.S. recognition of Iran's military power amid its waning presence in the region mean for Washington? Only time can tell.
Israel is widely viewed as a destabilizing force in the West Asia region. It has started many wars over the past decades against regional nations. The occupying regime's hostile actions are unending. Right now, it routinely launches airstrikes against targets in Syria. It is also widely blamed for high-profile assassinations of top nuclear scientists in Iran. The regime is believed to have carried out the recent sabotage attack on Iran's Natanz nuclear facility, which operates under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Iran was quick to pledge to retaliate for the attack on Natanz. Tel Aviv apparently knows no limit when it comes to clandestine operations against other countries. The regime always says it carries out such actions out of worries for its own security. Such dangerous policies could be starting to backfire. This week, a sensitive missile factory in central Israel was rocked by a powerful blast. The huge explosion, which created a mushroom cloud, hit the Tomer factory for advanced weapons. Israeli officials say the blast was a test. On Thursday, a missile fired from Syria landed near the secretive Dimona nuclear weapons facility, triggering warning sirens. The Israeli military said the projectile was a surface-to-air missile fired by Syrian forces against Israeli warplanes. It says the projectile overflew its target and landed near Dimona. But the heavily protected nuclear facility is some 300 kilometers south of Damascus. It is a very long distance for an errant missile. The missile fired from Syria on Thursday landed just some 30 kilometers away from the notorious Israeli nuclear facility. Military experts say this has once again revealed that much trumpeted Israeli air defenses are penetrable. The projectile made it through the air defense layers despite the fact that anti-aircraft and anti-missile systems around Dimona have been significantly boosted in anticipation of a possible retaliatory missile or drone attack by Iran or resistance groups close to Iran.
By looking at this particular site, Dimona, where this weapon nearly hit, it's saying, well, if you really want to have some sort of fight, you do realise that your nuclear facilities, we know exactly where they are, and they could be hit too. And I'm afraid just simply repeating the lies about the impenetrability of the Israeli air defences and missile defences is not going to save anybody in a conflict. It's really just hot air.
Israeli media, like the Times of Israel, have highlighted the fact that the missile landed deep inside Israel amid heightened tensions with Iran and after Tehran's pledge of retaliation. Some other media organizations, like the Middle East Monitor, said Netanyahu's comments after the attack on Natanz looked like a claim of responsibility, and this may have pushed Iran to retaliate. Israel seems increasingly worried about the possibility of the United States removing sanctions against Iran to re-enter the 2015 nuclear deal that America abandoned under former President Donald Trump. Israel has always been a vociferous critic of the deal, also known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. The regime could carry out more covert operations against the Iranians, further raising regional tensions. But if that happens and things spiral out of control, the regime has to be held responsible for possible repercussions for the region and beyond.
The Month of God. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. We are with you with another episode of the special series for Ramadan. The blessed month of Ramadan has reached its middle. The 15th of Ramadan is the birthday of Imam Hassan, peace upon him, the elder grandson of the Prophet of Islam. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, delivered a long sermon on the last Friday of the month of Sha'ban regarding the blessed month of Ramadan. In part of the sermon, he said, O people, there is a night in this month that is called Night of Qadr. It is better than 1,000 months. The reward of a person who performs a recommended act in this month is that of the one who has performed an obligatory act in other months. And the reward of a person who performs an obligatory act in this month is like that of the one who has performed 70 obligatory acts in other months. One of the raison d'être of the blessed month of Ramadan is sympathy with the poor and the needy. Fasting causes Muslims to remind the hunger and poverty of the poor. One of the names of Ramadan is Shahrul Mubasat, meaning the month of helping others and sharing them in one's money and belongings. Ayatollah Khamenei says, Mubasat is different from Musawat. Mubasat means accompanying and assisting the faithful brother. It means that one feels as his duty to give intellectual help, financial help, physical help, and reputation help. Dear friends, for sure, helping others becomes more important in the current conditions as many people have lost their job due to the coronavirus pandemic. As it has been said several times, fasting will be nullified if the forbidden act is done intentionally and with free will. So, if a person, for instance, falls in water unintentionally or he is forced to jump into the water and his head is completely covered with water, his fasting will be nullified. If a person doubts that he has done anything that nullifies fasting or not, his fasting is correct and will not be nullified. One of the supplications that are recited in midnight before dawn in Ramadan is Du'a-e Sahar or dawn supplication. Although there are other supplications for pre-dawn time of Ramadan, but this one is the most famous as it contains rhythmic phrases and mainly focuses on God's glorification and celebration rather than asking anything material or physical from Him. It reads, O God, I ask you for the last degree of your luster while all your luster is lustrous. O God, I ask you for all your luster. O God, I ask you for the last degree of your beauty while all your beauty is beautiful. O God, I ask you for all your beauty. O God, I ask you for the last degree of your grandeur while all your grandeur is grand. O God, I ask you for all your grandeur. O God, I ask you for the last degree of your greatness while all your greatness is great. O God, I ask you for all your greatness. O God, I ask you for the last degree of your light while all your light is luminous. O God, I ask you for all your light. O God, I ask you for the vastness of your mercy while all your mercy is vast. O God, I ask you for all your mercy. O God, I ask you for the most complete of your words while all your words are complete. O God, I ask you for all your words. O God, I ask you for the last degree of your perfection while all your perfection is perfect. O God, I ask you for all your perfection. O God, I ask you for the greatest of your names while all your names are great. O God, I ask you for all your names. O God, I ask you for the most dignified of your dignity, while all your dignity is dignified. O God, I ask you for all your dignity. O God, I ask you for your most fixed will, while all your will is fixed. O God, I ask you for all your will. O God, I ask you for your power, whereby you have dominated everything. O God, I ask you for all your power. O God, I ask you for your most authoritative knowledge, while all your knowledge is authoritative. O God, I ask you for all your knowledge. O God, I ask you for your oldest favor, while all your favor is old. O God, I ask you for all your favor. O God, I ask you for your noblest signs, while all your signs are noble. O God, I ask you for all your signs.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Proper Nutrition with Brother Sayyid Vahid Alavi in the program The Month of Allah.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, and welcome back to The Month of Allah. We were talking about how to eat and we reached halal livelihood. And as I said in the previous program, some people see themselves above some particular occupations and they say that it is not fit for someone like me, or it is not fit for someone with at my social status, and so on and so forth. It seems like we had the same problem at the time of the Prophet and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where a person came to the Imam and asked him, "I am in need, but I do not like to work with my hands or do any trade." And the Imam answered him by saying, "Work, although it may be a burden for you, because it is better for you to be independent than be dependent on others." And we continue with the ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says, "What seems in its outer appearance as a bad occupation, a bad job, is better than begging from the people." Now that is a good answer for those who come forth with such statements, that you could go and refer to the hadith of the Prophet. The great messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Whenever someone wants his supplication to be answered, should clean his food and clean his livelihood. There were from the question of where have you gotten your livelihood." That is very important. The Prophet answers and says, you should try to make your livelihood halal. By making your livelihood halal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your supplication. The Prophet says, try to make your business lawful and clean, and come out from oppressing
people. Whenever someone wants his supplication to be answered, should try to make his business lawful and clean and come out from oppressing people. Because the prayer of a servant does not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he oppresses the people or gets haram livelihood. Do not walk while eating. Someone came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, what is the verdict of standing and eating? And the Prophet answered, the worst kind of eating. We will continue with the question how to eat in the coming programs inshallah ta'ala. Till next time, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you. Ramadan Kareem. وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The Light.
Large chocolate reproduction of Picasso's iconic painting of Guernica has gone on display in the Basque country town. A steady stream of residents has visited the artistic work created by 40 Basque chocolatiers. The work of art is expected to stay in Guernica until it tours different Spanish and European cities. The move marks the 84th anniversary of the bombing of Guernica in northern Spain by Nazi Germany. Picasso painted Guernica to portray the suffering of people and animals wrought by violence and chaos. Upon completion, Guernica was put on display at a Paris exposition in 1937. Lebanon has unveiled its first indigenously produced electric car, which is also the first ever car manufactured in the country. The red sports car Quds Rise is named after the Palestinian holy city of Jerusalem Al-Quds, which remains under Israel's occupation. The car is adorned at the front with a golden logo of the Dome of the Rock, signifying the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. It's the project of Lebanese-born Palestinian businessman Jihad Mohammed.
You have two sources of electricity. There is the state's electricity that are the generators, so we pay to 10 recharging stations, and we are looking for secure places to install them.
The company hopes to start a production of up to 10,000 units of his electric sports car in Lebanon later this year. Jihad Mohammed says his long-term goal is to compete on international markets for hybrid and electric cars, as well as to make sales in Lebanon. In a remote part of Pakistan, two sisters have come up with a unique idea to help children continue their education during pandemic-related school closures, a camel library. The mobile library visits four villages in Pakistan's largest province of Balochistan. Children borrow books and return them the next time the camel visits. The project was founded by a local high school principal and his sister. Rahima Jalal says she started the project because she wanted children around her remote hometown to continue learning despite schools being closed.
When the coronavirus spread, the entire region and all the schools were closed. There was an atmosphere of depression for old and young alike. The region where I live, there is no entertainment for children at all, no place for outings. The only activity is the children going to school and coming back home. After the schools had remained closed for 8 or 9 months due to COVID, we started wondering what we could do for the children. How could we start some sort of activity which would keep children busy and also be of some benefit to them?
Pakistan closed their schools early in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic and sent some 50 million school and university students home. The closures put children in Balochistan at particular risk of falling behind, as the province is Pakistan's most impoverished. Even though some schools have reopened, children in this region still have trouble accessing educational resources. NASA's Ingenuity Mars helicopter has successfully completed its third flight on the red planet while moving farther and faster than ever before. It was nothing short of amazing, says the Ingenuity Projects program executive. The drone covered 50 meters of distance, reaching the speed of nearly 2 meters per second. In its latest flight, the helicopter filmed 80 seconds of video, which are to be sent to Earth in the coming days. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration says similar flights are yet to come, with each planned to be of increasing difficulty in order to push Ingenuity to its limits. The experiment will end in 1 month in order to let Perseverance return to its main task, searching for signs of past microbial life on Mars.
When spring arrives, nature is lively and in bloom. This generous season brings with it merriment for humans and animals alike, as they can freely enjoy the greenery. A herd of cows in Sweden have gotten their first chance to graze in green open fields after being cooped up in their farms for the whole winter due to the harsh cold. The event was broadcast live so people could enjoy watching these happy animals springing around. Sweden's traditional cow release ceremony attracts thousands of visitors every year.
Barcelona's famous Casa Batlló has been decorated with hundreds of artificial red roses on the occasion of St. George's Day, a Christian celebration also known as the Feast of St. George. For those in Catalonia, the floral decoration of Antoni Gaudi's architectural masterpiece means the arrival of spring. Many locals say that after a year of lockdown amid pandemic, the decoration seems like a recovery for them. Catalans normally celebrate the occasion in large groups outdoors, but this year, COVID-19 has prevented their traditional way of celebrations. However, they say Casa Batlló's roses have sparked a sense of enthusiasm that life is eventually going back to normal in some way.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A Dutch photographer has captured stunning footage of a super yacht passing through narrow canals of the Netherlands. Tom van Usanen used a drone to record the transportation of the gigantic vessel from its initial facility to the North Sea. The 94 meters long yacht, known as Project 817, is one of the largest vessels to be launched this year. It has been designed to precisely fit the waterways, and even a few centimeters cannot be added to its length or width. The duration of the yacht's transportation also depends on a variety of factors, including winds and the schedule of the bridges. For this super yacht, the mission took 4 days to be completed. Space radar capable of capturing small objects that threaten the safety of astronauts and satellites has been inaugurated at a farm in northwestern Costa Rica. The four large panels that make up the radar are connected to the servers of an aerospace company in San Francisco in the U.S. state of California. The system uses a continuous series of radio frequencies that bounce off materials in orbit and send information back to the servers. An American astronaut present at the ceremony says the radar is most advanced of its kind in the world.
Now, this radar
which is the most advanced commercial radar for space tracking in the world. What it does is it sends radio signals into space. As Franklin said, even an object the size of a golf ball traveling at 30,000 kilometers per hour overhead, a tiny amount of those radio waves will bounce off it and can be picked up by these giant reflector dishes behind us.
Costa Rican President Carlos Alvarado also joined by American and domestic astronauts during the event. The radar can monitor objects that transit in low Earth orbit near the equator, an average or an advantage offered by Costa Rica's geographical location.
A museum in London has transformed its gift shop into a mini supermarket selling artist-designed food to help an industry largely affected by the coronavirus pandemic. The Design Museum has reopened its shop with the help of 10 artists. It sells essential products with packaging designed by emerging artists. The market offers goods at the same price of normal markets, both online and at a marketplace. The initiative is led by Camille Walala, who says her project is aimed at supporting the artists reeling from the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, the project is to support artists, and I think because obviously at the moment there's no exhibition, people can't really show any of their creative work, and it's nice to have like a feedback when you're creative. It's nice to know, you know, if people like your work. I think this is a really nice platform to just bring artwork on like everyday product, and actually people are going to probably come and just buy them and probably keep them as a piece of art, like, you know, an affordable piece of art from some artists that you like. I think it's a really nice way to display art, so yeah, I think.
Walala says the project also conveys the message that creativity is as important for living as the other essentials. She says the creative supermarket will also help the museum, which has seen a drop of more than 90% in income because of the pandemic. The shop is open for just 5 days, but artists expect heavy demand. In Hong Kong schools, robots are helping children with autism to live a better life. These robots are part of an educational program called Robot for Autism Behavioral Intervention, or RABI. It's designed for individuals with autism between 3 and 18 years of age and aims to make them more social. The robots engage the children with role-playing and verbal interaction, helping them to resolve issues such as conflicts and bullying. The program was developed by a Hong Kong professor, Catherine So. She says the program will help fight social deprivation of a certain group of people.
We would believe that RABI can help them to, you know, improve their social and behavioral skills, and in turn, enhancing their quality of their life. So to reduce being excluded in the society, and also help them to be included in the future.
Catherine says using robots also helps keep the program structured and predictable, as autistic people are hypersensitive to voices and facial expressions. The program she launched in 2015 has now been adopted in more than 20 nonprofit groups and public schools in the country. More than 1,200 children have used it so far.
IRIB English Radio.